Now, friends, as we come to the Word of God and the preaching of it, I want us to turn together to Psalm 91 that we read together earlier on. Psalm 91, and I want us to think about the words that are before us and see how this psalm is a great comfort in these very uncertain times. And the thing that I want us to think about this morning is about if this you catch this virus, the COVID-19, what will be your response? And here in this psalm, we have great words of instruction and encouragement to us. You see, friends, the course of the world has changed in the past number of months through this spread of the coronavirus. Countries and people have reacted in different ways. Some have thoughtlessly overreacted. Others have been more cautious. Others have been skeptical and careless. There has been much inconsistency. There has been much hypocrisy as well in the way people have reacted to things, and individuals as well as government. You have it in our country that we see the inconsistencies. While the places of public worship and the gathering of God's people to worship God is deemed to be as a non-essential thing, yet the DIY and the off-license stores, they continue to be open to the public. You have still the murder of the unborn children under the care of our National Health Service and other organizations. They continue, and yet they are seen to be essential things. And so I hope you see the inconsistencies in the way the governments react and people react to these things. And in finding a cure and stabilizing the nations, the medical and political world is at a loss right now. They oftentimes speak in great words and with confidence, and yet they are at a loss at the moment. The reaction of many people is one of fear. People have come and they feel something of their mortality, that they are facing death and their life can be very short indeed. Well, how do you respond to something that you cannot control? How do you respond if you catch this or some other deadly virus? These kinds of things unsettle people. We are being told that about 40 to 70% of the world's population will contract this virus this year. Whether they do, the impact in many other ways is likely to be significant. Of course, we should be seeking to preserve life and health of ourselves and others carefully and lawfully. And this is something that the Bible teaches us too. But the question for us is, what should be our response in a climate of panic and alarm when we don't know what the future holds, when we don't know what the future will entail for us? Some may simply shrug it off as hype. Some would say this is just exaggeration. What we hear is just all exaggeration. But neither panic nor carelessness are the right response. Is there any hope? What if this disease gets into our homes? What if this infection gets into me? What if it infects you or someone in your family that you love? The only thing that makes us ready for such things is the experiential and heartfelt reception of the salvation that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the peace and the eternal life that He gives to all sinners who would come to Him. That's our only hope in terms of eternity, in terms of not just life here, but life hereafter as well. You see, all of us, catching this disease or not, all of us are dying. Not merely because of diseases and or old age. We are dead morally as well. We are dead spiritually, and we are dying physically because of our sin against God. This is something that the Bible speaks about clearly again and again. Death is the unpleasant thing, but it is the real fact of life. We will die sooner or later, but the point is to die in right relationship with our Maker and Creator God. To die in a state of being forgiven and being saved from the guilt of sin. To die at peace with God. How do you respond then? How do Christians face the pandemic and the deadly diseases? Christians, they have been in similar situations before. You have had the plagues before, the bubonic plague, which was called the Black Death of the 1600s, devastating London, especially where about one-third of the population died. In 1625 alone, 41,313 people died in London. And in such trying times, when plagues and devastations fall upon a God-rejecting nation, and our nation is a God-rejecting nation, people only consider God when things go bad and wrong for them, but not in normal days, day-to-day life. They don't seek Him, they don't read His Word, they don't pray to God. And we can still, my friends, find in such situation, even in this day and age of turmoil, we can find contentment, we can find peace in the Christian message and the real truth of salvation in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace and contentment is possible even in times of prevailing plague panic. How can a person have that inward and quiet and gracious frame of spirit to be humble before God's judgments and dealings? How can we have that kind of a disposition? How can we know God's mercy and forgiveness in such time? This is not about a fanatical or a fatalistic or stoic view of life. Just get on with it, some people say. Well, keep calm and carry on is the motto of many. It's not that kind of an attitude without any real basis, but it is that active and living trust in the salvation and eternal life we receive through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the scripture teaches. That is what the Bible tells us about. It is then that we don't look at COVID-19 or any other kind of trial passively, but we are confident that we who deserve God's judgment and God's just punishment have been forgiven, and so can then submit to God's will in such a way that as the Puritans would put it, our wills are melted into the will of God. One said, "One drop of the sweetness of heaven is enough to take away all the sourness and bitterness of all the afflictions in the world." Well, the COVID-19 virus and other similar diseases and plagues are the saddest afflictions. Why is that? Because when it visits you, and when it visits your home, when someone in your home or yourself is afflicted by it, in many ways you are going to suffer. And for some, it is very possible that especially the vulnerable will be taken. They will die as a result of it. At least that is the fear of many people. If you catch the virus, what would your response be? Are we prepared at all times to meet our God? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that the only way to be prepared is to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ in acknowledging of our sin and repenting and trusting in His shed blood on the cross to pay for our sin debt. It is then that we can face any affliction, because our soul is secured in Him. This body may perish, but my soul is secured. And when I die, I will die in peace, and I will go to the Lord Jesus Christ to be with Him, which is far better, the Bible says. Any visitation of sickness, any time that I am facing death, then in that condition of my heart, I can be content, because we can trust in the promises of God and to know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now forgiven. And that is enough to help us in such times. And this morning, I want us to think about three things as we consider this point. If you catch the virus, what should be your response? You should look for God's promises. You should look for, secondly, God's purpose. And thirdly, you should look for God's pledge. Those are the three things I want us to consider this morning. First of all, you should look for God's promises. That's how you should respond if you were to catch the COVID-19 or any other illnesses. There are promises in the Bible for every condition that we may find ourselves in. The difference with a Christian and a non-Christian is that the Christian trusts in God's promises in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find all kinds of, all comfort in scriptures. And so we don't lose heart. Yes, we experience pain. Yes, we experience suffering. But we don't lose heart because our hope and our life is not based around this world here and now. The Christian looks beyond this world. The Christian is at peace with God. Even when we catch an illness, we are at peace and go out to the promises and fetch from the promises of God who gives us that meets our needs. And this is the most real thing in the world to any person who has come to experience God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you find yourself fainting in your heart, and when you begin to despair, then what you should do is to run to and to meditate on God's promises. That he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Or the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ says that he is with us always. Or the promise that he will take us to be with him, that if we were to believe on him, that we would be saved. The promise of his love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These are the promises of God to us and invitations of God to us to trust in him. We ought to meditate on that, run to God. These promises to us sinners and rest in that. So go and in prayer plead the promises that God has made. And we'll look at some of that. And that is what we find in this psalm and in the psalms in general. This is what we find in Psalm 91. It is so sad when a person catches a severe infectious disease, such as the COVID-19. Or when a plague and deadly infection visits the home. In other illnesses, you see, you might have your friends, you might have your family, you might have other things to comfort you. But in this, you can't have your family and friend come to you. You have to shut yourself away from other people. You have to shut yourself away from the comforts because of the disease, because of the illness. In Psalm 91 and verse 10, we read, which is a wonderful promise here. We read, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And also verses 5 and 6, look at those verses. In verse 5 of Psalm 91, we read, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Those in such times and in danger should be going to these verses and others like it in the Bible for peace and rest and comfort. Don't go, my friends, to news websites and news broadcasts and watching the repetitive hyped up news. Often there are liberal news and anti-Christian news and all this media. Don't go to those things for comfort. You get no comfort or real answers from them. But go to the Word of God. Go to the God who has created us, and he has all of these things under his control. Go to Psalm 91. Go to the Gospels in the New Testament and read them. But then you might read a promise like this and say, well, this is a promise that the plague will not come near to them. It will not come near to those who trust in the Lord. But notice that it also speaks of no evil coming on them. In other words, the evil of it shall not come near you. You may then, as many people might say, well, it does come to some people and it comes to many people. Both those who are ungodly, it comes to them, but also it comes to those who believe in God and those who are genuine Christians. And how can they make use of this portion of God's word? How can we make use of this promise in this psalm? It is actually something that you might say that you may find troubling, because it is a promise that it will not come near them, and yet it has. What good is there in such a promise, you might say? If you are a true child of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through grace, then you are under, you see, the protection of God more than anybody else. God protects your soul. Your body may perish. You may be affected by these things, but your soul is kept. Your mind is kept. Your heart is kept. You also have this comfort that the evil of the disease shall be taken from you. If God will make use of this affliction for other purposes, He will make it up to you in some other way. The evil of it will be taken away. Perhaps you have given your children something, but afterward you've had to take it back for whatever reason. And so you say to them, well, I will make it up to you in some other way. Or you promise something to your friend, and then you say, I can't fulfill my promise right now about this matter, but I will make it up to you in another way and another time. Well, your child, your friend, doesn't think that you love them less because of that. So that is the same way when God, by His promises, gives you His protection, yet something happened. It is only as if a father should say, I gave you that indeed, that very thing indeed, but let me have it and I will make it up to you some other way that will be as good or even better for you than that. God says, let me have your health, let me have your liberty, let me have your life even, and it shall be made up to you some other way. And so when you catch an illness, and if this illness comes to you, or in future, whatever happens to you, you go to God's promises and you wait upon the Lord, you meditate upon God's word, and you put your full trust in the promise of the Savior. But the second thing is this that I want you to notice. Look for God's purposes. Look for God's purposes. Not just look to His promises, but look to His purposes. If you catch COVID-19 or something similar now or later in your life, when a plague comes to you, you have all these promises of God, then you should see that it is coming for some special reason. So God wants you to search. God wants you to examine what it is that He will, what is His will and what is His purpose in a special way. And that is so much to be learned. There is so much for you to know in the promise that God has made for this evil that you Christians, it will calm your heart when you know that this is in the purpose of God. It will calm your heart in this affliction. You can see God's hand in it then, and it is especially to work in your life, to humble you and to show you that life is so short and passing like the spring flower. Then it is that you will be able to say, when you know that it is part of God's purposes, that you can say to the Lord, I read in this psalm that God has made a promise to His people, to me, to deliver me from the plague. Yet I find it has come to me. It may be I am not trusting the Lord, and I have not made good use of trusting in His promise before now. Maybe God is showing me that I should trust Him more and prove His faithfulness. Maybe God is showing me that I can trust Him to the end. If God brings affliction on me, yet God will make it up in some other way to me. God made a promise to deliver me, or at least to deliver me from all of the evil of it. Now, if this does afflict me, and yet I have a promise from God, certainly the evil of it is taken away. And so you can say it in your own heart before God in prayer. If this promise tells me that if it does happen to me, it is for some special reason, for God's purpose. God has the use of my life and intends to bring about His glory some way that I don't know just yet. If He comes in fatherly chastisement, I am content, I am happy with it. And this is how a Christian would think and respond. And so you need to make sure that your trust and life is built upon that solid rock, the salvation and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can reason out of God's word, and you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you don't then lean upon your own understanding. Then it is that God comes to you by His Spirit, even though you might feel His heavy hand on you and you feel faint and you are in pain and you're in distress, yet you're looking to His promises and you know there is a purpose behind it all. There's a reason behind it all. This is not an accident at all that has come to you. You see, ungodly hearts, people who don't trust in the Lord, people who don't believe in anything, They don't find the same healing power in the Word of God. They don't find any hope in the Word of God. And so they are filled with their worries and they filled with their troubles of the spirit. And so what they try to do is to try to imagine that it doesn't exist, or they try to empty their minds and they say, well, I will give myself to some sort of a emptying mind meditation. I will do some yoga. I will do this and that and the other. I will work hard and give myself to work. I will give myself to my family. I will give myself to some pleasure. I will try to drown out the problems by taking medication in some ways, or drugs and drink, just to get this out of my mind. That's how the world reacts to it. But my friends, there's a hope and there is a truth, a trust that you can have in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in God's way, that He says there's a purpose, there's a reason behind all that He does. But and so when the godly come to the Word of God, what they find that the Bible is like a plaster upon their wound. The Bible becomes a great comfort to their soul when they are suffering. So they come to have ease. The believer comes to have contentment in those things that others find so disheartening and fearful and hopeless. And that is, my friend, the hope of the gospel. That is what we commend to you. If you catch COVID-19 or any other deadly illness, look to God's promises and look to God's purposes for us sinners. And thirdly and finally, look to God's pledge. Look to God's pledge. Look at these words. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge in verse 2. And my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Why will he trust in Him? Because of God's pledge to him. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth is God's pledge to us. His word is God's pledge to us. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, it says. And it says, why? In verse 9. Why is he going to do that? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You ought to, in those circumstances, look to God's pledge to us, His covenant to us. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5, David says that although he doesn't find his house to be as in every way as he would wish, he has contentment yet. Even though he can't find the things that he would want for his household, yet he has peace and contentment in his heart. And it is in the face of that, in the face that of that, that God has made with him an everlasting pledge or everlasting covenant. Look at verse 5 of 2 Samuel 23. He says this, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. This is what helps everything. I'm not so with God, he says, nor is my house and family as I hoped it might be with God. Perhaps there is this and that affliction on my house. And suppose you or others in your family, you catch the deadly virus and your house is not safe. You don't have that outward comfort in your house as you had before, but can you read this part of the scripture and say those words and mean it from the heart? Although my house is not so blessed with health as other people's homes are, although my house is not so, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. I am still one in covenant with God. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for me, and God pledges salvation to me through him. And I so trust in him. The Lord has made an everlasting covenant with me. As for things in this world, I see they are but momentary. It is only passing. It is not everlasting. I see that in a family when all was well only a few weeks ago, a week ago, even. Everything is down now. And the disease, the virus, the plague, the accident, the old age has swept away a great many of things that I had hoped for and people that I've loved, even my own health. The rest are left in sadness and mourning. I see now that there is no rest in the things of this world. Yet the Lord has made with me an everlasting covenant. I have come to trust in His word and the gospel. And they are all ordered, this covenant and pledge, they are ordered in all things. It is His pledge to me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I find disorder in everything else. I find disorder in my heart. I find disorder in my family. And disorder in my country. Yet it is the everlasting covenant is ordered in all things. Yes, and it is sure, the psalmist says. There is nothing sure in these earthly things. I can be sure of nothing here, especially in these times. And so, my friends, we can be sure of little that we have. And you know that. You know that you can't be sure of the things that you have. Who can be sure of what we have? Some have lived well for a long time and comfortably. All was well, yet within a day or two, all was taken away. There is no sureness in the things of this world. But the pledge of Jesus Christ in His gospel and covenant, it is sure, it is true, it is faithful. Notice what follows. This is all my salvation, David says. This is all my salvation. Why, David? Why do you not want salvation from your enemies? Why do you not want salvation from your outward dangers, from the pestilence, from the plague? Oh, David, David's heart is at peace, you see. He is looking to God's spiritual salvation. His heart is at peace. The frame of his spirit is quietened. And so he says, if I am saved from this, well and good, I shall praise God for it. But what I have in the covenant and the pledge of God, that is my salvation. I look on that as enough. This is all my salvation and all that I really want. Why, David? Is there nothing? Is there not something else that you want beside the salvation and the pledge of the covenant of God? No, he says. It is all part of it. Surely, those who have all they want are living happy and peaceful lives. And this is what the godly man says. This is all my desire. This is all I want. Even if God does not make my house to grow, I have all my desires. So you see how a godly heart finds contentment in the pledge of God, the covenant of the Lord. But this pledge of salvation, this covenant of grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to make that pledge of God good to us sinners. And so the question for you is this. Have you come to know this for yourself? That you are depending on this? That you are trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the sweet truth of the gospel. You may suck a sweet drink with a straw, and in the spiritual sense, we may suck the sweet drink of salvation to our souls in our sad situation. It is a special sign of true grace for any person that when any affliction comes to them, they naturally go to the promises. They naturally go to the purposes and the pledges of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like a child. Just like the child goes to their mother or father as soon as he is in danger. So as soon as a gracious heart is in any trouble, as soon as a Christian is in any kind of trouble or affliction, they naturally would go immediately to the Lord for help and strength and peace. There we find ease. There we find rest in the gospel. If you find your heart running to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to His bosom, to His heart, it is an excellent sign of the reality of salvation and peace and grace. So let me finish. Friends, I urge you to trust in the gospel. Trust in Jesus Christ, trust in God's promises to us sinners in times of trouble. And when you catch any deadly diseases, you go to His promises. For example, you go to Psalm 43 and verse 2, where we read, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Or Isaiah 54 and verse 17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue shall that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Or you go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Every time you read the scriptures, you come across a promise, you should put your hand on it. You should put your hand on it and say, "This is a part of my heritage. This is mine, and I am living upon it." This makes us to be contented. This makes us to be at peace. When we read words like this in Psalm 34 and verse 10, "The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Or Psalm 37 verse 6, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Or the words of Isaiah again, "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday." Friends, we must learn this lesson of looking to God's promises, looking to God's purposes, looking to God's pledge by His grace, depending on Jesus Christ. Or that you will have through these things a quiet and peaceful heart. May they strengthen your trust in the Lord Jesus. When storms and troubles and uncertain times come, it is God's promises, God's purposes, God's pledges to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ that settles our hearts. If you catch COVID-19, remember that what you desperately need is the healing of your soul from sin by that physician and savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. Well, may the Lord bless you in these things, and may the word of God dwell in us richly. Amen.